Praise God. Well, turn in your Bibles with me tonight. If you're here for the first time, you've come into a great church of people, great group of people. Amen? One of the best group of people you ever meet. Glory to God. Hungry for God. They are extremely strong in the Lord. They're people that are integrous. They're people with super-duper hearts. And they love God very, very much. All right. Praise God. We'll talk about activating your angels. Activating your angel. That's our message tonight. And, this meal is not thoroughly cooked. I put it together, so most of it is cooked really well, but I will fix it up so that we'll have this will fill you up for sure. It's an appetizer. Amen. So it's going to be good. Everybody say it's going to be good. Look at your neighbor. Say it's going to be good. Amen. Did anybody notice anything about me? You notice anything about me? Did anybody notice anything about me? No? Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. It's not fair. Okay, so Ephesians 6:18. We want to talk about activating your angel through prayer. And we're going to talk about some things there. And we'll add on a few. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there to the end with all perseverance. How many people know that when you pray, you got to persevere? You can't just pray the prayer of faith and quit. You got to stay in faith. Amen? And supplication for all saints. And so we say, Brother Hagin used to tell us, Ephesians 6:18 and John 15:7. Let's go ahead and read John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, everybody say you. You shall ask what you will. Everybody say, I will. Say, you means me. So, whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. Everybody say, done for me.
Done for me.
Say, you means me. thank God. Amen. I appreciate you cooperating, because I know that if you teach in kindergarten, you do stuff like this. And you have to repeat things. And it's good. Repetition is good. And Doug Jones, one of our teachers at Rhema, said, Brother Hagin, cured me of redundancy. We do things over and over and over and over again, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing and hearing and hearing. So we got to hear things over again. We need to repeat things over again. And because you said it once, it doesn't mean it's always there. How many people know you can eat a pie and it's gone? And you don't say, well, I ate a pie once. So you want some pie? Say, no, I ate that once. I ate it one time. No, you say, well, I'll eat that again. So you'll eat it again because it's good. So it's like the Word of God. You take it again and again and again and again. So thank God for that. Amen? How many people are tickled tonight? Anybody happy? Hey? Thank God. I know that lady says I'm a funny man, so I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe I just look funny. So Ephesians 6:18 and John 15:7 are what, Brother Hagin used to say, these are golden texts. Now, why are they golden texts? Because they're two scriptures that you can use about teaching on prayer, and you can go to any direction you want. So it's a general text used for a lot of areas. And so, there's prayers of faith, prayer of how to, the stress-relieving prayer. Those are specific prayers. But these verses of Scripture talk specifically about prayers. So there's not just one kind of prayer. There's many kinds of prayers and different rules for a specific kind of praying. So when you, I know in my denomination and when I used to pray before, we always used to add the phrase at the end of every prayer, if it be thy will. But that's not the prayer of faith if you pray that way all the time. If it be thy will, insert it, is only used, when you don't know what to do and God's going to give you something to do and you'll do whatever he said to do. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of consecration and dedication and all the Asians. Submission and whatever, okay? So that's what it is. So we're not teaching on that, but that's good. We're not going to charge anything for that tonight. So that's free. And, as far as activating angels, so we're talking about activating your angel through prayer. And, you got to have faith. You got to believe God. Jesus said in Mark 11, 22-24, he talks about the God kind of faith. Verse 22, he says, have faith in God, or the correct rendering is have the type of faith, the kind of faith that God has, where he believes whatever he says will come to pass. That's what he talks about in verse 22. He says, have that kind of faith, or make sure you have that God kind of faith, not the kind of faith that man has. Man believes only what he sees, what he feels, what the conclusion of the natural senses tells him. But there's more than the natural senses. There's God is greater than the natural sense. God is greater than your culture, right? Because people say, well, we don't do that in our culture. No, God is greater than your culture. Because, I live with a Finlander. And she says, well, we Finns don't do that. I said, well, is that in the Bible? And so we say that with native people. Is there any native people here? We have a certain culture. We're proud of it, but we say, we don't do that. But, God is older than the native culture. Praise God. There's only a few people are happy about it. But anyway, he's bigger than anything. My God is bigger than your God. And so he'll beat up your dad. And, when we get there, we're kids, we say stuff like that. But our dad is bigger than the world's dad. And he's awesome, God. He's a wonderful Lord. Jesus said, have faith in God, for surely I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatever his grandfather says, whatever his pastor says, whatever his wife wants, whatever everybody else wants. No, whatever you say, whatever you desire, whatever you want. So if you're praying for somebody and they don't believe and they don't have any desire to be healed, you can't heal them. Even if God wants him to be healed. I remember praying for one guy. He was on disability. He's going to university, getting some money. And he's getting some money also from another source. And I said, I'll pray for you. He said, no, pray for me. he says, don't pray for me. Please don't pray for me. I'll lose my checks. And so I said, okay. And so I didn't pray for him. And so, thank God, he better learn. He better learn about the things of God. So, Jesus said, I want you to notice something about the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith connects with every other prayer you will ever pray. Now, I know some of you heard this tens of thousands of times, but you need to hear this again. The prayer of faith is one prayer that you'll have to include with all the other praying that you do, because you have to believe what you're praying about will happen. If you cast your burdens on the Lord, you got to believe that God took them and he's going to do something with them and he's going to solve your problem. If you solve, if you put your burden on God and then God cast your care upon the Lord and you walk away going, and you don't believe it, then it's not going to happen. And you tell everybody. You went to their church service and they prayed for you. But then when Benny Hinn comes on, you pray the same thing again for the same thing that pastor, whoever prayed for you. You don't believe. When is it you're going to start believing? And stop asking people to pray for you, right? So we have to understand what faith is. And Jesus said, the moment you pray, you have to believe at that moment that you receive what you're praying about, and you have to believe that it'll come to pass. Anytime after you say amen, could be 5 minutes, could be 5 days, could be 5 hours, months, whatever, but you have to believe you got it. And every time the devil talks to you about it, and the pain shoots up your arm, you got to say, thank God I'm healed. That's faith. Hallelujah. Amen? So Jesus said, does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he said shall be done or come to pass. He will have whatever he says. It's what you say in prayer comes to pass. What you say in your prayer. If you do pray, if you do say, I might say. Notice over there we said in John 15:7, whatever you ask in prayer. So the emphasis in John 15:7 is not on God, it's on you and the kind of prayer you're praying. And what condition your faith is in. Come on now. Don't just go ahead and rush to prayer unless you've actually researched a subject and you got a hold of that subject in your heart and you're ready. Then you're ready to pray. Not just don't let anybody pray for you or just rush everywhere to ask everybody to pray for you because you might not be ready. And you might not be always ready to. I mean, you might be ready to pray for people all the time, but you must talk to them and ask them about questions about different things. Find out what they believe. And then you're ready to pray. So we see that over there. So now, Jesus said in verse 24, notice there, look at verse 24. New King James I'm looking at here. Or King James, you want to look at it. Therefore I say to you that what things or whatsoever things, King James says, you ask and pray, when you pray, believe. Whatever you're asking for, you have to believe. Everybody say believe. The word believe is synonymous with faith. Because when you have faith, you got to believe. The word believe is an action word. Right? And you have to affirm that you believe, and when you affirm you believe, you smile. Some say, what do you smile about? And I said, well, I believe I receive. Am I healing? Well, you don't look healed. Do you feel any better? I said, no. I feel worse even. Well, how come you say you believe? Well, according to the Word of God, I believe. I don't believe because I feel like I'm healed. I don't believe because the doctor said I'm healed. I don't believe God because, I fell over on the power or shook under the power. I believe because the Word says it. That's the basis of the Word of God. Amen. We believe according to the Word. That's how faith works. Now, so Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So, in verse 23, he said there, I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he said. Therefore I say to you, verse 24, that whatsoever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. The Bible says that in this particular prayer of faith, notice in the prayer of faith here, therefore I say to you, whatever you ask, when you pray, you got to ask God when you pray for whatever you want. You must have a scripture for that asking. In conjunction with that asking, you got to have a scripture for that. You guys said, do you have scripture for what you're asking God? Is that in the Bible? If you don't have a scripture, you say, well, pray for me. Okay, so what scripture are you believing for your healing? Well, I don't have any. Well, go sit down. You're not ready for prayer. Is that being mean? No, I'm just telling people, you're going to just be further back. If I pray for you right now, you'll just be further back. You're just playing, you know, by chance. And we don't play by chance. We play by faith. Amen. So whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive. Believe that you receive. The moment you pray, you say, thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, I receive. Did you feel any power? No, I just acting like I believe. Woo! Amen. That's right. You got to act like you receive. And you got to smile. Yeah, you got to smile. And so that's what it means. You believe. Believe that you receive. You got to act like it. You got to act like you received it. So look at this, and you will have them. The prayer of faith, you know, you could pray that because verse 23 tells you how it works. How faith works. How the prayer works. The mechanics of it, the ABCs of it, is two things in verse 23. Verse 23 says, for surely I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will be done. He'll have whatever. Okay, whatever you receive. Okay, but therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, when you're asking, you're saying something, right? So whatever you ask when you pray, so you're saying something when you pray. Believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So it works like this: you have to say words. Say, I have to say what I mean. Have to say what I want happen. Say, my words will activate my angel. My words activate the word of God. So, because it's voice activated. I sometimes go, call Anita.
Yeah, I'm calling Anita. Which number, please?
So that's what it tells me. What's your name? Siri. You remember Siri? Then when she says to me, I say, Siri, I love you. She says to me, don't be silly, Roma. How many ever talk to Siri like that? I talk to her next time. She says, Siri, you're such a special lady. Oh, don't be silly. So I talked to Siri, and so you have to, when you're getting anything from God, when you're believing anything from God, there's two things that you do. You're either going to pray it, or say it. That's why when you believe in God for anything, you don't have to pray, you just have to say it, because it's already in the Word. Your faith activates whatever you want to happen in your life. Your words, activates your faith. You have to say, thank God. Like when I need something, I don't say, ooh. I say, thank God. Oh, Father, your word says that healing belongs to me. Thank you. Thank you that healing belongs to me. Thank you, I'm protected by your angels. And something's happening. Because I believe my words, according to the scripture, whatever I believe that's true, I activate my covenant. I activate the scripture. The covenant belongs to me. Everything in there belongs to me. So I said, I want that. I activate it. And part of that, our inheritance, is that we have angels. We have angels. Each of you have an angel. You have an angel with you. Some of you think you're angels, but you do have an angel. Amen? So, That's all I have to say tonight. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Okay, now, you can pray it or say it. So words will activate your angel. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, are they all not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for? Everybody say, minister for. Say, minister for. See, the angels will minister for you. When somebody ministers for you, they serve you. Angels are servants of Christians. Angels serve the people of God, for God. They are commissioned to serve you and us, the church. You got to believe it. You got to see it in the scripture. And there are not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister. The word minister means to serve. Now, I'm not taking this out of context. I'm showing you scripture. To minister for those who will inherit salvation. How many of you inherited salvation? How many of you inherited salvation? Okay, then angels are working for you. You have to believe how to activate your angel. Like we were just joking around yesterday. They don't go and get your Timmy's or something. You don't get pizza. We're talking about that. But they do other things that are scripture. Some of you, come on, need a smile on me a little bit, okay? Because I think you're mad at me. So okay, so watch it now. Watch it. Now, Now, you can't see an angel, but you can see them everywhere. They're here right now. Angels are here right now. There's an angel and on beside as much as many people that are here, and probably more than that. In fact, there's more angels than you and I have right here. They're here. Angels are here. And I was talking about that the other day. My man here, he was here. He talked to me after the service the other day. He says, you know what? When I was really sick, I died. I came out of my body, and I saw my family there, and they were all crying. He said, I came out of my body, and I saw this big, big, great person standing there. And it was an angel. He said, come with me. So this angel took him, and he said, we went over here, and we sat on some kind of a platform, and he showed me, he said, see that road over there? It's a wide road. He said, if you go down there and see all those people, they're dying and falling in. You can go that way and see that road over there. It's narrow. You go that way, it leads to heaven. It's up to you. He said, come on back with me. Came back to him, and he went back to his body. He said, it's up to you. He saw an angel. That's his angel. Talk to him. Gave him a message. And so, there's a young lady, when I went to preach up north, she said to me, she was frightened or something, and she was traveling to one of the northern reserves. She said, I was so frightened, I looked out the window, and I saw an angel there, holding up the wing of the plane, and we're traveling through in the air. Angels. I was telling my wife, the other day, I was coming out of my house, backed out of my house. There was a lady, she's notorious for breaking other cars. She destroyed the guy's car from my house, coming out of my house. Young man was coming out of my house, and she come out of the house. She's a bus driver, too. Where's that Pastor Ken? She's a bus driver, too. She backed out, and she hit that one young man. And she said, oh, it's that young man's fault. The police believed that woman. And we all saw it. We saw it was her. And they said, I'm going to fight this woman. No, they fight this case. So, they begin to determine that it was that lady's fault. And then just about a couple months ago, I'm coming out of my place, And I saw, I'm coming out of my driveway, and this lady backs up to the road and comes across to my place, and this much almost hit me. I looked, I saw the man's face, I saw his face, he looked at my face, we're just that close. I could see his wrinkles and everything, pimples and everything else. So close we were. Then again, a week ago, I'm coming out of my driveway, and I'm driving, backing up, and this lady backing up again. She's driving, like, backing up, like really fast, and I didn't know, if I didn't have a chance. I saw my car, literally, this is no lie, I saw my car just picked up and going this way. I'm serious. I'm very serious. I would never say this to tell you a lie that this didn't happen to me. I knew it was my angel. I activate my angel all the time. It would have cost me. And, you know, time, money, whatever, to send, you know, this out there. But, you know, for some reason my windshield broke and I should have activated my angel then. Amen. Don't laugh. Okay, watch out. There's angels around here, but you can't see them with your natural eye. If God opened your eyes, you'll see an angel. This is called a gift of the Spirit. It's called discerning the spirits. God opens your eyes. It's called the gift of the Spirit, mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7 to 11, or 12, 7 to 11. God will open up your eye. You can see an angel. Discerning the spirits is a gift that you can see angels. You can see a demon, and you can see Holy Spirit. You can see various kinds of angels. You can see the cloud, glory cloud. You can see into the spiritual realm. You can see heaven. Amen. If God opened your eyes, you'll see that. I was to a man of God. He says when the Lord opened his eyes, and this young girl had cancer. The Lord prayed for that girl 4 or 5 times before. Nothing happened, but on the fifth or sixth time, God opened his eyes and he saw a demon in that girl's body. He saw a demon, like a monkey-looking ape kind of thing, monkey in there, and he had that woman's lung. He called that out in the name of Jesus. Get out of that body. Come out of that lung in the name of Jesus. Get out. And Jesus, that lady instantly got healed. The gift of the Spirit and manifestation. He said, another time I'm praying for the sick, and there's a healing line going on there, and there was a healing service. He said, I come up to this one man, and I prayed for that person 3 times. It didn't happen. I was instructed by God to pray for this guy. Nothing happened 3 times because he was in unbelief. Because he told the guy, let's see if you could touch your toes. The guy couldn't do it. He prayed for him again. He says, go ahead and try and touch your toes. He couldn't touch his toes. And then he prayed for him again a third time. He said, go ahead and see. Let's see if you could do that. The guy couldn't do it. He said he got discouraged. He went off and prayed for somebody else. The guy went down to sit down. And all of a sudden, while he's praying for somebody, Jesus appears to him in the spiritual realm. While he's praying along, Jesus is talking. How many people know that God can interrupt you and talk to you while you're doing other things? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Holy Spirit is talking to you right now while you're listening to me. Yes. So he's praying, and Jesus talked to him. He said, I told you to cast that spirit of the man in my name, and it'll go. He said, I did. I did try it. He said, didn't I tell you? It will have to leave in my name. He called the guy back up there. The Lord opened his eyes. He saw a demon on that man's head. He had him like a headlock. The man's head, the man was going to insane asylum because he was having so much nervous condition. A demon was there. Cast that demon out in the name of Jesus, and that man was completely free. Hallelujah. A gift of spirit, a manifestation. You can't just try that, and you can't just say, well, I'm just going to cast this devil out. You can't cast a devil out unless God shows you.
That's right.
And you must use the gifts of the Spirit in that sense. Now, you can resist the devil yourself, you know, and if you sense that, you know, he's around, you say, I command that fear to go in the name of Jesus, whatever it is, and you go ahead and block him and resist him and so forth, so on. But it takes the gift of the Spirit to actually do that particular thing. Glory to God. One time he said he's preaching, and he saw a guy, spirit of death on that man. He said, over there, this young man, a Rhema graduate, standing right there, sitting there. He said he saw a death spirit. The man looked like death. He wouldn't talk to the man. He said, talk to the man. He said, you know, this is going to happen. Don't do this, and you make sure to do that. The guy didn't listen, and he died. He said he could have helped him, but he didn't want to listen. He died before his time because he didn't allow anybody to correct him. And so we need to learn how to be corrected, amen, and live, praise God, amen. So the angels are here. If you could open your eyes, you'll see an angel right there. You have an angel. Everybody say, I have an angel. Say, I may not look like an angel, but I have an angel. Say, sometimes I look like an angel. Amen? Sometimes you look prettier than other times, right? Okay, that's just a joke. Now watch this. Psalm 34:7, New King James says, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. Notice this. And delivers them. Everybody say, say, I have an angel, I have an angel. Yeah, you have an angel, you have an angel. Amen? I'm happy. You know, when you're happy, you just get silly. Right? Huh? When you're happy, don't just be real. Oh yeah, sophisticated. You know, when you're happy, you get really silly, right? You know, little kids, they just act it out. I have an angel. I have an angel. I have an angel. I have an angel. Amen. You can go home tonight. Do that. Try that tonight. Notice something over here in 2 Kings 6:14-18. Elisha, the man of God, God was using this man, Elisha, and Elisha was a man of God. He was a prophet. Everybody said he was a prophet. A prophet has an amazing gift when God sees fit for him to see things and know things and hear things and get things from God, from messages, so that he could actually help somebody avoid tragedy in their lives. And so God has that way. And so there's a story here of these kings. This enemy was trying to destroy Israel and destroy the people of God. But God had a prophet, a man of God, who actually heard from God, so he could tell the other good king, the good king, Israelite king, about how to avoid the problem. How many people know that God could tell you something and you can avoid a financial ruin? God could tell you not to marry somebody and avoid a heartache of horror. Or tell you, stop eating chicken. No. Well, whatever he tells you to do. God could show you something so you could avoid tragedy. So in this situation, that will happen. Notice over here, verse 14, 2 Kings 6:14. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and great army there. And there came by the night and surrounded this city, this army. And the servant of the man of God arose early and went out. And there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him or his master, he said, alas, master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for we are, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. God's message for you tonight, no matter what problem you have, that God has more for you than the opposition. You have more than enough money to finish your project. You got more than enough strength to make it through the week. You got more than enough energy, praise God, amen? You got more than enough mental energy. You're not going to have a nervous breakdown, amen? You're going to be strong, praise God. You're not going to be fearful. You're going to be strong. He said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are around us, or with us. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots and a fire around Elisha. He saw into the spiritual realm. He saw the angelic host that was encamped about them. How many people know there's angels here? Amen. By the Spirit of God, by God's holy word, angels are with us. Hallelujah. They're with us throughout our lifetime. They'll serve us. They'll help us. Jesus said in Matthew 18:10, New King James says, take heed that you would not despise one of these little ones. So this is talking about children. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels are always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. See, while you're here, the angel has some kind of capability to talk to God at the same time while he's watching over you. I've been activating my angels lately, especially this year. Talking to God and say, thank God you got that angel around me. I remember listening to Benny Hinn one time. We were in a conference with Benny Hinn, you and I. We went to Florida a couple of times. And Benny Hinn says, you know, one time he woke up in the middle of the nighttime and said, the Lord opened his eyes and he saw all these angels around his, sitting around, you know, looking at him. They're looking at him. And oh, yeah, they're watching him and then he's looking at them and so on. Angels. They're here. Hallelujah. And so, Daniel, you know, he was, the Bible says there in Daniel chapter 10, I'm going to, you know, wind it up here. Daniel chapter 10, verse 4 to 14, there's a story about Daniel. The Bible said he was perplexed about a certain thing. How many people know that when you have a problem, you pray, you go to God, and sometimes you fast. And the Bible says that Daniel is fasting. Why do people fast? Some just to lose weight. You know? But it's fine. We don't have to. It's no, you can fast if you want. But fasting usually is a time used where you just take the time to pray. Instead of making your food, you just pray. Seek God. There's no scriptures in the New Testament that tells the New Testament church or believer to fast. No writer in the epistles, and Jesus never told us to fast in the New Testament. In fact, he told us to eat. Because people think, I'm going to fast here, and, make God do something here. Well, no, God's going to be the same all the time, no matter if you fast or eat or whatever. He's always the same. Yeah. But what fasting will do, it'll make you lose weight. No, it'll make you more sensitive to God and make you more attuned to God, and so you can hear God. Yeah. So this man Daniel was fasting. He took time to fast and pray. And the Bible says that God sent a messenger to this Daniel, and that Daniel said that this angel came you read the story, that this God sent that angel from the very first day Daniel prayed. It took 21 days for the angel to get to him. That's in the Old Testament. And he said there was fighting. He was fighting, with another angel, a dark black angel from the devil, from demonic forces, fighting with him. And he was fighting. And so another angel came and helped him out. And that angel was loosed. And he went to Daniel and gave him a message. He said, I have a message for you to tell you about what's going to happen in the last days here. I remember listening to Brother Hagin, one of our stories. And in class, he told us in our school there, he said, one of the stories, the book called I Believe in Visions. You can find it in the bookstore. And he said, I was fasting, or at least, this angel came and talked to me. And he began to share some things. Jesus was talking to him. First of all, Jesus said to him, I'm appearing to you right now. You're looking at me. This is a vision. Hello? This is a vision. You're seeing into the spiritual realm. This is what is known in my word as the revelation gift of the Spirit, of discerning a spirit. Hallelujah. You're seeing into the spiritual realm. You're seeing me. I'm talking to you. I'm giving you a message. Hallelujah. This is the last time I'll ever lead you this way. I'm going to lead you like I lead all my children, and that is by the leading of the inward witness. So this is the last time I'm going to appear to you this way, to talk to you this way, to lead you into a certain thing. And so he talked to him. He said, I'm going to teach you about demons and devils and evil spirits and how to get into people's lives and what you can do about them. Then he proceeded to tell him about the story about the man of Gadara. Remember the madman of Gadara? Well, he's here tonight. No, I'm just kidding. No, the angel of the madman of Gadara, he had, like the Bible says, he had like 2,000 demons around. But Jesus said, "You in that particular time, when the discerning of spirits work, when you cast that spirit out just in that particular way," he said, "you have to know what's the name of that demon. And you're going to have to know how many of them in there." And if you read the story carefully in the book of the Gospels, there you'll find this, that Jesus said, what is your name? That demon and that man said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he cast them out. See, you have to use, it has to be by the gifts of the Spirit to cast the devil out of someone just like that. You got to see into the Spirit, you got to hear, you got to know what the name of that is. And you can't know it unless God shows it to you. Don't just say, well, maybe I got one. And the devil says, if you say, well, maybe I got one, you start talking to yourself like that. You say, well, the devil tells you, well, you got three of them. You say, well, yeah. No. You can resist devils. You can get them off you right now. If he's the ones that are pestering you, you can get them off yourself. Jesus told him, I'm going to show you how to get rid of devils yourself. You don't have to have anybody pray for you. And you don't have to be afraid of devils because Jesus gave you power over all devils. Pastor Steve told you yesterday, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said that Sunday morning. I was right over here. How many of you heard that? Nothing by any means shall hurt you. If anything hurts you, take Tums. Amen. But anyway, you can get right. So the Bible says that when the man prayed, the angel said to Daniel, listen to this. He said, the moment you start praying, I'm coming for your words. So Daniel activated his angel by what he said, what he prayed. I want you tonight, as we're going to close here, everybody stand up. I want you to understand something tonight. That you have an angel. You got a personal angel that watches over you every day. And you got to, believe God that whatever you need protection in, if you need money, if you whatever it is, you need open doors, you say, go forth, ministering spirit, whatever it is, tell them to go and get that, whatever it is, open that door or close the door, protect my child or get around my kids or get around my home, protect my home. And what you say, what you believe. It's not what I believe. It's not what the pastor believes. It's not what the minister believes on television. But what you believe about it. And we believe the mighty word of God. Amen? Let's lift our hands together and begin. Bless God. Father, we lift our holy hands in prayer and thanking you tonight. That we thank you tonight that you've given us an angel from the time we were born. All the way through our life. And just as you said in your word, that this angel brought Lazarus to heaven. This angel will carry me into the arms of the mighty God. Thank you for the angels of God that are around here tonight that watch over us, Lord God. We want to thank you that they will do the things that you said in your word. And we're going to study some more on it Sunday. We're going to look at it closely. Thank you. And so, Father, by the authority that you invested in us, by the name of Jesus, we bind all the devils and his work, and we command them to get their hands off our physical bodies. Get your hands off our children, our homes, our finances. Get your hands off our workplace, our activities. Get your hands off this ministry, off the people of God, every family member of this church. Get your hands off all our new believers that's been coming. Get your hands off of every partner of Spirit Alive in the name of Jesus. We bind you, we forbid you to cause them to be hindered in the walk of God. We're asking the name of Jesus, by the power of that wonderful name that we have faith in, to bring healing to the physical bodies of those that are suffering right now in the name of Jesus. We command the spirit of fear to leave the people. Fear must go in the name of Jesus. Nervousness must go in the name of Jesus. Sleeplessness must go. Insomnia must go in the name of Jesus. Poverty must go. Lack must go in the name of Jesus. Go. Lack, go. Oppression, go. Depression, go. And now, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who inherit the saints of God, the kingdom of God. Go forth, ministering spirits, and cause the healing to manifest. Cause the deliverance to manifest. Cause protection to come. Cause finances and blessings to come to the people. Cause open doors to come for the people of God in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Go ahead and rejoice and bless God because it's happening right now. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to ask you right now in the name of Jesus, with every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ? A man of God last week died. His name is Billy Graham. I was watching him on television. In 1980, I was a second, third-year student at Confederation College. I heard the message of Jesus Christ. I heard the message of Jesus, salvation, many, many times in my life, but not like this time. It seemed I heard this all my life, but for the first time I heard the message of salvation, Billy Graham preached. He said, if you would pray this prayer right now, and if you invite Jesus Christ into your life, you'll never be the same again. And you know what? I've never been the same. He said, you're going to know peace that you've never had before. A peace will come upon you you've never had before. And then instantly, when I invited Jesus in my heart, I began to cry and weep, and I felt such lightness. I received salvation by Billy Graham's message of salvation there, of Jesus Christ. So if you're here right now, if you never invited Jesus Christ in your life, maybe if you've done just mouth it all, but this time you're going to pray the faith. Prayer of faith. He said, I'm going to receive Jesus right now. I don't care who's looking at me. Billy Graham says, I don't care where you are. And if you invite Jesus right now in front of people, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you, my Father in heaven. If you invite me right now, I'll come in. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm going to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ? And I'm going to ask you right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, would you want Jesus to come in your life, in your heart, right now? If that's you, lift up your hand right now and say, please pray for me, Pastor. I will receive Jesus Christ in my life. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? I want to receive Jesus in my heart right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to change. This is going to be a turning point in my life. And it will be. You'll never be the same again. Come on. I want to pray for you right now. Come on, get out of your chair. Let's stand right here. I'm going to pray for you right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't wait there a second. Let's go ahead and pray right now in the name of Jesus. Run to the altar and say, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, don't be afraid. Help that lady. She's hopping around. She's the little bunny there. Hallelujah. Come on, sir. Come on, man. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Give these guys a hand. Give these guys a hand. Come on. Give them a hand. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. What is your name?
Belinda.
Belinda. What happened to your leg? Car accident.
Yeah, we both did.
Okay. Were you walking?
No.
Driving.
Yeah.
You shouldn't play with cars. Belinda and
Casey.
Beautiful name, Casey. You look sharp too, man. Man, oh man, for a guy that had an accident, you look good. Why did you come to church tonight?
Because we're in the city and we had time to do it.
Good man. Where are you from? You're from here, but he's from Nakina.
Yeah.
And this young gentleman, I know this guy before. Arnold, right?
Arnold, yeah.
Praise God. This you know Arnold?
Yeah.
I knew his dad. His dad was my brother-in-law. No, your great, your uncle. Your uncle, yeah, his uncle. Sorry about that. I made a mistake. Same name. Anyway. Let's stand right here, guys. We're going to pray a prayer. Invite Jesus in your life. And if you really sincerely believe it and give Jesus all, you'll never be the same again. I was in and out of jail, in and out of prison, beaten up, black eyes, waking up in a muck, waking up in a bottle, you know, somewhere out in the grass, somewhere, you know, where there's piss all over the place. That was me. I walked down the drive down the street over here. I see a lot of the guys come out of that bush. I told my wife that was me. Look at me now. Look at God. God did it. God did it. He saved me. Amen? He did it. But you'll never be the same again. Aren't you excited? Let's pray. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Say, dear God in heaven, thank you so much for sending Jesus to die for me. Tonight, I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for giving me new life, for giving me all my sins, giving me a new heart and a new start. I will serve you as best as I could. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give these guys a big round of applause. Come on, people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord of God, anybody got some books for these guys? Lord of God, here's one of our pastors here. Listen, you can. Go ahead and talk to them in the corner down there for a few minutes. You follow this young man. He'll take you in that prayer room over here, and we're gonna.